Session number 17625, Mr. William Glaister, Reel 6.
Mr. Glaister, Reel 6. You moved to Geneva. What was that like there?
Well, it was Baron. It was the IBD, Infantry Base Depot. And it was from there that
was it tented or hutted?
Tented.
Were you there long?
Yeah, I would imagine. It's been about 3 weeks.
Was it like other depots, very strict and regimental?
Oh, it was regimental, yeah.
Was it infantry in the sense of being all regiments or Durham's?
No, you had different regiments, because I remember very plainly there was the 4 acre shop and the 8 acre shop. That was the canteens. Now the 4 acre shop never opened very long. Door was closed and you were forced to go to that was Dera, you see. And George Fearon from Sunderland, I don't know what happened to him. I heard he died, but I don't know where, whether it was in the prisoner of war camp or what. But anyway, I heard he died. But what a good singer in all that. Doggy Young from Blackhall, and he was singing, and of course it was a mixed canteen, you see, different regiments, and your guards, and your green jackets, you had different people in the depot. Anyway, he dropped a bottle on the stone floor and it smashed. Of course, that upset the cart. It was a battle royal.
Who were you fighting among, sir? Who were they?
We're fighting the. I'm trying to think of the regiment. It was a Yorkshire regiment. Yorks. It wasn't a York and Long, sir, I don't think, no. But anyway, sick parade the next morning. There was some funny sights on the sick parade. And they all had to go to the same place, the sick bay. I was there, I broke my hand. Bull Runny, he was there. He wore his overcoat all the time. I said he was the one that caused the trouble, like Bull Runny. He was from Sunderland. Looks and big shiners, and oh, there's some sights there.
After fighting people like that, were you friends afterwards?
Well, I wouldn't say friends, but it was forgotten more or less, you know.
You didn't have the military police arrive to break you up?
No. No, you didn't have the military police there.
What was the army's attitude towards injuries such as this?
Well, I couldn't tell you what their opinions were, but I couldn't imagine them being very, very nice. The opinions must have been very poor because of the amount of injuries and people who were unable to do their duties because of the injuries, you see. They wouldn't go down well with the superiors, but you had your regimental police. And that was it. You know, you had your military police, I suppose, but you never saw them.
You weren't put on charges for
no.
fighting?
No. Well, they couldn't prove it, you see. Because you went with a hand or something, or a black eye, you'd always say you fell and you bumped your head against something, or, you know, they couldn't prove you'd been fighting.
There must have been a lot of falling that prior to that.
Yeah.
The 3 weeks that you were there, as I say, infantry base depot, and you just landed, so there's a acclimatizing position to get over. Did you find that okay? You didn't have any problems?
No problems.
No trouble with stomachs?
No. I just carried on normal.
What were you doing there the 3 weeks?
Well, nothing really. Just waiting to be posted up there.
Had you parades to do?
Just your ordinary muster parade, you know, the report.
They didn't march you out into the desert, or?
Oh, no.
Tried to acclimatise you in that way?
No, they did the marches, but nothing out of the ordinary.
Was there anything on the camp to entertain you for the time you were there?
No, not to my knowledge. I never had any entertainment there. The only entertainment we had was our own entertainment and fisticuffs. That was it.
Had you been inoculated against various
diseases
before you set out?
Yeah, you had your TB, or your TAB. Inoculation, your malaria inoculation.
I know you'd volunteered basically to, or suggested to your commanding officer that he did put you on draft. Were you excited by the fact that you were abroad in a foreign country, one you probably never would get the chance to see under normal circumstances?
Well, I was like others, I suppose. It was an experience. I didn't think of it. You know, I didn't think of it as something, even though it was bad, I didn't think it was bad.
You know that you probably were going into an action situation.
Oh, yeah.
Was that on your mind at all?
No, I couldn't get up the front quick enough. It was boredom where we were. And it was boredom where it went, but still.
What was to come, facing an enemy, did you feel that the training that you'd had all the time you were in the Tories and right through helped you a great deal with what you went to?
Yes. Oh, I wouldn't like to have gone out there without any training. I was grateful that I had been in the TA. And got the basic training done and more advanced training. I think it stood her in good stead.
Yeah. So after 3 weeks you were told you were going on draft to some unit. Did they tell you then what unit you were going to?
Well, I volunteered for the 8th Battalion. He went to the 9th Battalion. I went to the 8th. And were taken by train up to a certain point, and they were met by the transport and taken to various. All the troops was up there in Gazala. We formed a box formation.
This must have been around the February when they'd just come back from Iraq. They came down from Iraq up to Gazala.
That would be, well, February, March.
Yes, lady, because you had your ship's journey, hadn't you, since January? How did you find them? How were you received at the battalion positions?
Well, Wally Innes, he eventually mutinied, and he was sentenced to death in Italy, but See, what had happened with him, he was in hospital. I don't know if he was wounded, but he was on the anti-tank guns, the two-pounders. And in Italy, when he went into hospital, during the time he was in hospital, he was promised that once he recovered and got out of hospital, he would join his own regiment. But in fact, he didn't. He was sent to join another. They wanted to go to another regiment, and he mutinied. He wouldn't go. And he wasn't alone. There was one or two of them. And he was sentenced to death. And then reprieved. Then he came back home. His wife still knocks around now. Well, he's dead, like. But he never got his name cleared. You know, I mean, it's always a black mark on his... Even though they tried and tried and tried, they just couldn't get his name cleared. So that stuck with him till he died.
So you knew some of the people when you got to the battalion?
Oh, yeah, Bob Ledger was a colour sergeant. He's dead now. Geordie Ledger, he finished up a captain in the Indian Army. I knew quite a lot of them.
So they receive you, in some cases, like a long-lost friend?
Yeah.
What were the battalion positions like in the box?
Well... Well, I was at B echelon, actually. I was behind the box. I was nearer the coast than the battalions.
Can you describe B echelon to me?
Yeah, it was a transport. And we used to be seconded on various duties with the battalion. You go to the battalion and you'd perform various duties, you know. You might be a company commander, driver for the day, or you might be ferrying troops somewhere, you know, in that own little area. And duties was just normal general duties. You got your details, and you carried out, you went up to the battalion and joined your company or platoon or whatever it was. You detailed the ferry, and that was it.
You were there as a driver?
Yeah.
Were there any other elements in B echelon? You say transport. Any other elements in that situation?
No. No, the B echelon was just the...
Battalion transport.
Transport, yeah.
Going, what was the desert like that you were in?
What was it like?
People think of sand dunes and, you know...
Well, it was. It was desert.
Sandy, stony mixture?
No, well, I suppose you had your stones as well, like, but the majority was sand.
Was your truck that you were driving, in some way, was it adapted for desert sand conditions?
Yeah, well, I used to have a Chev, an Indian Chev, and the sideboards, and that was cut down, you know, and you had your sand channels on each side, one on each side. That's if you got bogged down, you had your iron sand channels to help you to get out of the dirt. It was all open transport. It wasn't covered in transport. Too hot, I suppose, for that sort of...
How did you keep sand out of the engine? moving parts? Were they adapted in some way to, filtered in some way, special to keep the sand out?
You didn't get sand in, actually. Because you couldn't speed, I think, you know, not on the sand, you had it. You were restricted, your speed was restricted. So you weren't throwing sand up, you know, in the engine.
Navigation now? Do you navigate in the desert?
Well, there was compasses, people in the battalion that had compasses. We didn't have compasses.
You didn't have a sand compass device?
We didn't, no. We knew exactly where...
You'd have tracks to follow, no doubt.
Yeah, we knew where the battalion was. And Knightsbridge was behind her.
Moving into the box from B echelon, did you have a minefield to go through?
No, no.
You weren't, didn't have that problem?
No, but they left a gap. I can't remember whether it was the 151 Brigade or the 150 Brigade.
8th Battalion would be 151.
151, was it? We left a gap for Judy to come through, but I underestimated them. And there was one hell of a tank battle at Knightsbridge.
Before we come to that, just to get a picture of your life in the desert and that of the battalion, B echelon, what were you? How did you were accommodated? Dugouts or tents or what?
Well, like a dugout, you know. Yeah.
Were your trucks dug in as well?
No. No, but they had the camouflage nets.
And what kind of a dugout would you be in? What was it like for size?
Well,
and
just
comfort?
Just enough to get yourself in and get your head down. Yeah. No special.
Did you dig that yourselves, or were they already dug when you got there?
I think they were dug there, you know, when we got there. It was just a question of taking.
What kind of depth would they have?
About 3 or 4 foot.
Water problems? Were you rationed?
Yeah.
What was the ration?
Well, I used to get 2 pints of water a day. That was another task we had. We used to go down to the sea for seawater and fresh water. And the seawater was for washing clothes. You know, not for drinking. And the other water was used sparingly. You got 2 pints a day. Now, I've seen lads on the MT who've drained the tanks with water off the radiators to drink. It's been that bad, you know.
With the 2 pints, what did you have to do with it? How far did it have to go?
Well, that was your drink. You know, I mean, that had lasted 24 hours.
Did you have to hand a portion of that over to the cookhouse?
No.
That was 2 pints for yourself?
That was person. Per person, yeah.
And how did you wash? Because you'd be in echelon, you'd be a little bit
better.
You'd be a bit better situation than be echelon then.
Well,
in the front.
It was all seawater. You know, you couldn't use your fresh water.
Out off the coast?
No, not a long way. I'd say about 40 miles or something. Wasn't a long way. I used to take barrels, fill them up. Load them onto the trucks, take them up to the front line, well, what we call the front line. And cookhouses were allocated more water, you know, because of cooking purposes, you see.
What food were you getting?
Well, Italian biscuits, hardtack, corned beef, bully beef. It wasn't a good food, but it filled you, and that was it.
Obviously, the cooks would come up with all kinds of mixture of those ingredients.
Yeah.
Did you get anything from home occasionally?
Not there. No.
Were you getting mail from home?
Yes, you got your mail. But it wasn't on a regular basis. You'll get a batch of mail in, and then that would probably be it for a...
Was mail important
oh, yeah.
for a soldier?
Yeah, it was very important. Mm-hmm.
Was your own mail going out censored?
Oh, yeah, all mail was censored.
Who did that?
Check. I don't think it was censored. Not from the battalion. But as a prisoner of war, it was obviously censored. Now, our battalion mail, you could send it. You had your post corporal and or whatever.
You didn't have an officer reading it and crossing out anything that might give the enemy information.
No.
Did you get occasional supplies of additional items like beer or of that nature that might come through occasionally?
No. But you did get the odd parcel, which was donated by people at home. British Red Cross and people like that, you know, you got a parcel with socks in and different odds and ends.
Did you see these? I believe the Salvation Army came up with a truck.
Well, yeah, the Salvation Army were quite good people. They had their tea and the wards, you know, the buns and whatever. Oh yeah, they're good people, the Salvation Army. And they were good people in the First War, because I remember my Uncle John, he was wounded 27 times. He was hit 27 times. And he was blinded. And the Salvation Army used to write his letters home for him. You know, that's the sort of people, the sort of work they did. They're good people. And they're good to us as well.
How did you to withstand the great heat of the desert?
Well, I suppose it was something you got used to, you know.
How hot might it get?
Oh, dear me.
You weren't boiling eggs or frying eggs on your hoods of your vehicles, this kind of thing.
No, not exactly. But it used to be very hot during the day, but at night time it used to be very cold. You used to go around with your overcoat on at night time. It was that cold. But just the opposite during the day. I've heard people say you could fry an egg in the sand, but I've never seen it. Never.
Did you have your own personal brew-ups or group brew-ups of tea? And
oh, yeah.
How did you do that?
Well, you used to get to the cookhouse, you know. You'd always live in there. They would always have a brew-up.
You didn't have these little sand fire things
no,
that they made?
No.
But of course, you were in a different situation slightly from the other people.
In the POW camps, it was different altogether. But we
did you have much interference from the enemy at this stage?
No, not a lot. And as I say, we left a gap for him to come through, and he came through in tremendous force, and that was when we were surrounded, you see.
Did you move into the box prior to the enemy starting?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the idea, you see. To get away from the Knightsbridge area, because all our tanks was waiting there for him. But we underestimated his strength, and he came through very strong, and consequently, we were surrounded, and it was decided that we couldn't travel as a unit, as a battalion, because we didn't have the support. By that, I mean we didn't have the weapons. So we split them into two columns.
Just prior to this, before we come to that really important point there in the story, actually, did you get involved with any of the columns that went out, you know, the jock columns and raiding columns? Did you get involved in any of those?
No.
You were with B Echelon all the time, were you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I remember two Bren gun carriers, and a platoon of men went out and brought in about 200 Italians who were just sort of, that was only a platoon of men and two Bren gun carriers, you know, they take 200 prisoners. Yeah.
Was it common knowledge amongst you that the Italians were not particularly gifted fighters?
They weren't. It was, we were aware of that, like. We knew they weren't down-to-earth soldiers, like.
Had you any opportunity to get back to Alexandria for any reason whilst you were in the B Echelon?
Yeah, we had the occasion to go to Alexandria on a short leave. And then when I came back to Gazala, it was a case of packing your bags and every man, well, not every man for himself, but near enough.
What was Alexandria like?
Well, Grant Road, and well, I suppose it was okay. It was a change from the desert, and he made the most of it.
A lot of troops there?
Oh yeah, quite a few troops.
Get into any fisticuffs again?
No. No.
What does a soldier look for when he gets to a city like Alexandria after being away in the desert and wherever for so long? What are the first things you look for?
Women. Aye, women, I suppose. Women and beer. Drink.
Were you in Alexandria itself or were you at City Bish outside?
Oh, I was in Alex. But only for a short while. And then I was back up the desert again. It was only a sort of a minor break.